Next, I would like to introduce our beloved Sheikh Hamza Yusuf to come. I was going to say a scholar who needs no introduction, but I think that the audience took that away from me. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Hamza.
I didn't get any introduction. So on. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli wa sallam wa barak ala sayyidina wa habibina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahabatihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin. Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal 'alimul hakim. Allahumma 'allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima 'allamtana wa zidna 'ilma. اللهم افتح علينا حكمتك وانشر علينا رحمتك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الكرام ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله. I noticed the translator was completely silent on that, so I'm going to assume she doesn't know Arabic. But really, these people are so amazing. I want everybody to give really some gratitude for these extraordinary interpreters. Allahu Akbar. And I mentioned last night that there was the evidence, clear evidence, that the Prophet, there's actually an opinion that he knew all the languages, which is mentioned in some of the books, but there is definitely clear evidence that he knew sign language. And I gave a dalil last night, I'm going to give another one tonight. I noticed that whenever Sheikh Mukhtar said heart, she went like this. And the Prophet ﷺ in the hadith, when he said, "At-taqwa ha-huna," wa ashara ila qalbihi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So more proof, because the Prophet, when he said, "Where is piety?" He went like this, in the heart. That's heart, right? Ameen. Is that how you say ameen? Amen?
Ameen.
Oh, yeah, alhamdulillah. We would go like, we'll change that. You know, Christian prayer, they do this, but we open up. Not because it's nice, the prayer, but this way you get, when it comes down, you actually catch it. So if you go like that, you might miss it. Yeah. Allahu Akbar. Anyway, Allahu Akbar. Look at all these extraordinary young people in here. I'm literally shaking from joy of the future that this community holds in America. And if we look at some of these young up and coming lions and tigers and leopards, and no, those are harsh animals. I'll say mountains and oak trees. Sheikh Yasser, mashallah, may Allah increase him in his knowledge, and all these young men and women that we're going to see, inshallah, taking our place. I mean, he was trying to push us out already. We're not ready to go just yet. But inshallah, like he said, it's inevitable. When my children came into the world, I realized I'm happy, but at the same time, I should recognize they're here to replace me. So it's a reminder that he's the one, astakhlafakum fil ard, that he replaces you in the earth. He puts you for those who went before you, and then he gives you the ability to bring children into the world to replace you. And so these young people will be replacing us. Inshallah, this organization will continue to grow, and many years from now, when some people, like we have people in ISNA now, we remember that have passed. And when we pass, inshallah, people will have positive and good memories of us. But this is the nature of life on earth. Islam is moving, and it's moving rapidly, and some people are frightened. And to be fair to them, because we need to be fair, Islamophobia is a word, phobia is a Greek word, and it's used in medicine for an irrational fear. And some people, we have to be fair and admit that some of their fears are not unfounded. That there are certain aspects of our community that are very dysfunctional And we need to look at that and focus on those things so that we can rectify these things. But we need to alleviate fears in this community. There are many good Americans that are very frightened. When I was on an airplane, and I was going from New York to San Francisco to New York, and I sat next to the legal counsel for Time Warner. He had 500 lawyers under him. He was on an airplane not too long ago. And he had a pinstripe suit, and he was reading a book about the Supreme Court. So being the Sherlock Holmes that I am, I said, "You must be a lawyer." And he looked at me, he said, "Yes, I am. And what do you do?" I said, "I teach Islam." He said, "We're going to have a conversation." That's what he said. We spoke for 4 hours straight. He happened to be Italian. I'm part Greek. People from the Mediterranean do that. And somebody behind us after 4 hours said, "This has been a really interesting conversation, but we've heard every word." So after that, we quieted down. But one of the things he asked me, he said, "Should we be afraid of Islam?" He wanted an honest... This was an intelligent man. Somebody who I believe was... He wants to know the truth. But he asked me, "Should I be afraid of this religion?" This is a top legal mind. He was a Supreme Court clerk. He's got 500 lawyers under him. And he's asking me, "Should we be afraid?" We need to let them know, not only should you not be afraid, you should be looking forward to what's coming. But we need to alleviate fears. And so the MSA, on your campuses, you are ambassadors to the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every Muslim is an ambassador. There's good ambassadors and there's bad ones. But ambassadors are ambassadors. They represent the company, the country that they come from. The word in Arabic for ambassador is safir. And the safir is the one yusfiru an baladihi. He explains what his country intends. This is his role. The ambassador, like April Glaspie, this wonderful Arabist who was an ambassador in Iraq, and when Saddam said, "Does America have any interest in whether or not we go into Kuwait or not?" And she gave the opinion of the country at the time. Things changed in this country rapidly. But she said, "No, we have no interest in inter-Arab disputes." So Saddam moved into Kuwait, and the next thing, well, everybody knows that history. And then when they asked Dick Cheney in 1994 in an interview, Dick Cheney, do everybody know who he is? Dick Cheney. One day he might be in a Cheney gang. Man. We used to have Tricky Dick Nixon. Do you remember him? And I never thought I'd miss Richard Nixon. I never did, seriously, but I miss him. He wrote a book about Seize the Day. It was called Seize the Day, and he had a section on Islam that was actually quite forward-thinking for the time. But anyway, Dick Cheney in 1994 was asked, "Why didn't you go into Iraq and finish the job?" And Dick Cheney, in an interview that you can find on BoobTube, he said, "We didn't go into Iraq because we would create a political vacuum, and that would lead to massive chaos and disruption, and a lot of people would die, and we're not willing to risk the lives of American soldiers." That was 1994. I don't know what happened between 94 and 2006. I don't know what happened. But Dick, either, it might be late onset dementia or something like, because people forget. But that's what happened. So this situation that we find ourselves in, you, all of you on the campuses, you're ambassadors. You need to tell people in this country, especially the students, because the students are going to move into positions of power. You need to tell them who we are and what we're about. There is right now a campaign going on to tell people about Islamofascism. This is the neoconservative last bash. This is the last attempt because they're a spent force in this country. They've taken America down the wrong road, and I think a lot of people in this country are realizing just how far down they've gone. But this is an attempt on the campuses to create more fear about our community. And I want the students in this audience to remember, do not fall into traps, especially you South Asians. Your ancestor invented chess. If you're from India, that's the country that invented chess. And you should know that chess is a game of strategy. You have to think strategically. Don't fall into these traps. Don't fall into these traps. Don't let these people draw you in to any types of reactions that we're going to be ashamed of as a community. On these campuses, stay cool, calm, and collected. No one was more calm in the midst of calamities than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you want to know the sunnah of the Prophet, the sunnah of the Prophet is to be cool, calm, and collected, to not be disquieted by situations. He was never disquieted. In the midst of battles, they would look at the Prophet and he was in a state of stillness. Abu Bakr in the cave, when he was worried, when he was riding and Suraqa ibn Malik was behind him, and he looked at the Prophet and the Prophet was reciting the Quran in a state of tranquility. This is the state that we have to imitate to the best of our ability. But my suggestion is to have counter conferences, counter sessions where you teach people about Islam. The best way to counter the attacks on Islam is to provide sound information on Islam. Don't fall into the trap of attacking the attackers, because that's exactly what they want us to do. Let's not attack the attackers. Let's do what our Messenger did when he said, خَلُّوا بَيْنِ وَبَيْنَ النَّاسِ, teach the people our religion and our faith. This is da'wah. Da'wah is just, it's a welcoming invitation to know what our religion is about. La ikraha fid din. There's no coercion in our faith. So all of you young people, go to your universities and teach people about Islam. Use this as an opportunity. And also, and I'm talking to the MSA, I know there's some of the older generation in here, but I'm talking to the Muslim Students Association. And we have some of the founding members, Dr. Jamal Bedwi, Jazallahu Khairan, Mahbub Khan, our dear beloved and deceased brother, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him the highest place in Jannah. He was the first person to invite me to ISNA. That's the reason that I first came to ISNA, was because of Ustad Mahbub Khan, a visionary, a true visionary. These were the people that started this organization because they wanted to see Islam preserved on the American landscape. And we're inheriting their legacy. So it's important for you to recognize the elders that did so much before you, to honor them, to make dua for them. Dr. Siddiqui also, Dr. Muzammal, all these, and many, Sayyid, there's many of these people. You're not ready to go yet, and we want you around. So I'm not in Sheikh Yasser's camp. You know, get off the stage. We're taking over. This stage isn't big enough for the both of us. There's plenty of room for, we need the older guidance and leadership of the people with gray hairs. They're people that have experiences that we don't have. But the MSA is an organization that we have to strengthen. It needs to be a non-sectarian organization. Don't fall into the traps of sectarianism. We welcome the different groups of Islam. We're not here, and I don't think we should be proselytizing to each other. That's my personal opinion. I don't think the Shia should proselytize to the Sunnis, and the Sunnis proselytize to the Shia. Let's just respect each other. These are very, very old debates. They're old debates in our Islam. They've been going on for centuries. They were insoluble by the greatest minds of Islam, on both sides, geniuses on both sides. We have to respect each other and recognize there's plenty of room for all of these different opinions. When Imam al-Ghazali mentioned in Faisal al-Tafriqa that he felt the majority of humanity would eventually be saved, this is his opinion, and he had his proofs for that. But we have to really think about the fact that paradise is bigger than the heavens and the earth. Arduha ardu samawati wal ard. It's a huge place. There's plenty of room for everybody. We should want everybody to get into paradise. It's not a hotel that some small group has booked and we're all going to show up and they're going to say, sorry, all the rooms are filled up. No, there's plenty of room for everybody. And we want to see people in paradise. The Prophet ﷺ wanted everybody to go to paradise. That was his desire, his love. So let us respect our brothers and sisters from all of these different groups, really. Let's have a mutual respect and a recognition that each of us have a story. And that story is sometimes inherited, and there's reasons for it. Other times it was adopted by conviction, but each has his story. And the story is sometimes different in the details, but at the essence, it's the same story. It's the story of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. That's the story. So it's very important. So tell these stories. Don't let sectarianism come into our community. American Islam can be a beautiful manifestation. Like the poet said, وَيْنْعَبِقَتْ فِي الْغَرْبِ أَنْفَاسُ ذِكْرِهِ وَفِي الشَّرْقِ مَعْلُولٌ تَعَافَ مِنَ الضُّرِّ. If the fragrance of his remembrance diffuses in the West and there's a sick man in the East, you'll see him becoming well again. That if Islam is successful in this country, it can have a very transformative, it can have a beautiful palliative effect on the sick Muslims of the East. So we need to recognize that we have an obligation to be a successful community, to be a community that guides, to be a community that's like a minara, it's like a minaret that others can look at and aspire to. You young people that are here, you did not inherit the dysfunctionality of the places where many of your parents came from. Their cultures, that there are many reasons why they're dysfunctional, but you did not inherit those dysfunctionalities. You're in a society that is able to do great things. You're in a society that teaches people that all things are possible. We say all things are possible with God, and that's the state motto of Ohio. Ohio. With God, all things are possible. So that's a Muslim belief, but it's also an Ohioan belief. And next year in Dayton, Columbus, Ohio. So in Columbus, all things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. I want another thing that's very important. You are a community that has to rise up to the challenge of eliminating racism within our ranks. I would contend that Islam is not a racist religion. It has never had the manifestations of racism that you find inherent in Western civilization. That's a fact. There is tribalism in the Muslim world, but I've never heard a Muslim ever say that a white man is superior to a black man or an Arab is superior to a non-Arab. We've never heard that. There might be attitudes that indicate that there's misconceptions, but nobody would articulate that because they know it's against a fundamental principle of Islam, and that's from the blessing of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Racism exists in America. It's very real. It hasn't gone away. You can look at it in just many of the aspects. I grew up playing chess. In chess, the white pieces always go first. Seriously, why is that? I never understood that. Why does the white... why don't we flip a coin? The white pieces always go first. I grew up in a house with a piano. My brother is a pianist. My father is a pianist. On the piano, the white keys are made out of ivory. And the black keys are made out of wood. That's not fair. And the white keys are major keys. The black keys are minor keys. That's not fair. Seriously, if you look at the cigarette, they cover the brown tobacco with a white piece of paper. They smoke the white part, and then they flick away the brown butt. They call it a butt. Seriously, that's just wrong. Really, one of the favorite games of Western people is pool. It's a white ball picking on a bunch of colored balls. It's just, and then they save the black ball for last. That's just wrong. And not only that, when they knock the white ball in the corner pockets, the white ball gets to come out again. The black balls get stuck in there. That's just wrong. That's wrong. We need to change pool around. Put the white ball in the middle and let the black ball take over for a little while. Seriously. But I grew up playing baseball. That's an American game where you take a brown bat and knock a white ball right out of the park. And the little white ball has a red neck thread around it. Oh, man. So let's get rid of this racism and teach Americans how to live together. Black, white, red, brown, yellow, purple people are welcome in our religion. If that's your color, you're welcome. If that's the way God made you, you're welcome, really. I mean, that might be science fiction, but... purple pupil is a possibility. The ulama say ja'iz aqlan. But really, we have to welcome people. I have a friend of mine, he's a black man. He married a Pakistani woman. He calls himself a Blackistani. This is Islam. Seriously, this is Islam. Let's bring it together. Bring these people together. America's a place where we come together. There's an entertainment session starting. I thought I was the entertainment session. Anyway, God bless all of you. Barakallahu fikum. The leadership, may Allah increase all of you. All you people, go back to the places where you came from. Recharged and with the power that this religion has. It's got power. And people recognize the power. Empower people. Our Prophet empowered people. He was not a tyrant. Hashahu. He was somebody that his sahaba were free to ask questions. They were free to challenge his opinions. They would say, "Aharbun wa makidatun ya Rasulullah am wahyun? Is this wahy or is this strategy?" He would say, "No, this is strategy." He said, "Well, then I think you should do this." That's a man who empowered his people. Let's empower our young people. And you're going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. We all make mistakes. That's part of life on earth. May they never be big mistakes. Jazakum Allah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh Hamza.